And we move on to Investor Insights. This week, we're taking a look at some things we've covered in the past. We're doing an update to the Common Monetary Area regulations and the changes that happened there. Those changes came into effect on the 9th of September, and I recently traveled to Lesotho, and I thought, why not look at the actual impact? So I was in Lesotho last week after our show, and it was quite interesting to get there, and people know that this has come into effect. There's no understanding around the actual implications on the ground, so you kind of have to sit there and have a conversation around what does it mean. And for as much as we know, it's the EFTs that are affected by this. And I thought, okay, cool. If EFTs are affected, what else is affected and how do you kind of navigate that? Now, obviously, this is isolated to Lesotho because we would not have, I haven't been to other CMA countries. Yeah. But I was able to go into a Pick n Pay in Lesotho and use South African rands. And it was still treated at a one-to-one ratio. So the cash side of it is unaffected by the CMA change. When you speak to people in Lesotho, they say 90% of the things that are consumed in Lesotho are imported from South Africa. So guys like Pick n Pay still move product into there. There were trucks at the border trying to go in there and that sort of thing. So it seems as though, for the most part, everything's carrying on as usual, which then begs the question, why then bring this into effect? I mean, we kind of looked at the whole, yeah, we're on the grey list and the naughty list and we have to deal with that. But practically, on the ground,
I don't know. Because you're right. I mean, forever in a day. I mean, I've been to Eswatini, Namibia, Botswana. You pull out your ZAR or your ZAR card and they're happy. Although weirdly, once, quick side story, 98, our currency's collapsing. I'm in Mozambique. I pull out ZAR. They're like, no, we don't take ZAR. Because they didn't know what exchange rate to give you.
Oh, wow. I'm doing, this is not, which makes sense then.
This is, I'm, you know, I'm changing money in the market. I mean, this isn't at a bank. And they're just like, no, we don't take ZAR anymore.
That's
they're
it.
Like, not interested.
I stood there nervously at the Pick n Pay in Lesotho after I'd picked up everything, and everything is in Lesotho's currency. It's quoted in Maloti in Lesotho. And then you sit there and you get to the till, and I took out South African banknote.
And they were happy.
My thing was, if I'm going to Lesotho, I'm going to go in with cash, because if I have to find a bureau de change to change the money or I have to figure things out, I want to have the option of both cash and card and all of that. Because you don't want to be stuck in a foreign country without a plan, you know? It wasn't for that long, but still, I was paranoid. And it was, side story, it was an international flight, considered an international flight. So I get to the
airport.
Did
you get there direct? Of course, they got that new fancy airport, the Chinese built.
No, the Chinese built a hospital. They didn't build a
and a parliament.
Yeah, but they didn't build an airport. You get to Maseru Airport and it's not what an international airport. Like, there's a lot of infrastructure development that needs to take place in Lesotho, and the Lesotho government thankfully is on that bandwagon, which is quite interesting, because I was there and I had the privilege of chatting to one of the ministers on that side, and it was a conversation around the government has shown a willingness to want to improve things, to want to develop things, which is a fantastic thing to do, because that's the first problem you typically have with infrastructure development is there's a resistance for wanting to deploy, right? So the country is definitely very much still intertwined with South Africa in terms of relationships and trade and all of that stuff. But practically on the ground, it kind of feels very much like it's still the CMA regulation hasn't fully kicked in, so to speak. I guess they did obviously say from a banking perspective, it would apply to how EFTs are classified. So that distinction was made very clear.
So it's just, but it then seems to just be
EFTs. So you can still go into a CMA country with a bag of money, which kind of is defeative of
everything,
the purpose as to why this was employed. But that's a bit weird, right? So that was one experience, and I wonder if perhaps other countries might be going through that. For our listeners, for our community that's out there that's living in any of the CMA countries, please give us feedback. Please let us know what you're experiencing. Anyone that's traveled to a CMA country, let us know kind of what's going on, what your experiences have been, and hopefully we can try and make sense of this, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot here that we understand or that's been fully implemented.
Yeah, and maybe it is just a case of this sort of the retailers are just like, yeah, it's fine, I'll take your ZAR.
That's it, because it's still at a one-to-one. Yeah. And so the interesting thing was, I paid in rands, I got,
change
in
yes.
Maloti, but I then went to a different shop just outside, paid in rands again, got change in rands. So the currencies are intertwined. It's the luck of the draw as to what banknote you get. I didn't take the time to request a specific banknote, which maybe I should have. Maybe I should have said, can I have my change in rands? But it seems as though the Basotho people are of the view that we will use both currencies, and then maybe it's changed at borders or however it works. But if you're going in there with rands, you can trade quite comfortably in cash. and you can leave with Maloti for the next trip you go in there with.
Yeah, because as soon as you cross the border, go to Lady Brand, they want Tsar.
That's it. They want Tsar. And that's like, what, 3Ks away. It's not too far. It's a very interesting
thing. Okay, that is wild. Okay.
Yeah, very wild times indeed. We're going to be doing some stock picks. We're going to be looking at a couple of things to update and add to our wall. And we are looking at two local picks. We're looking at Mr. Price as well as High Prop. And then on the international side, we're going to be taking a look at JD.com and Sprout Farmers Market. I'm so keen on that one. I don't even know. Let's get the other ones out the way quickly. Let's get Mr. Price and High Prop out the way.
Yeah. So, you look at the Mr. Price chart and it's like, yo, something's happened here. And what's happened here? Well, just like an improvement in sentiment and the like. And I know that it has run, and I know folks are going to say it's expensive and everything, but it's just that rate cut we got. I know it was only 0.25%, but when you take into what's happened this year, we're next week is 6 months of no load shedding. We've got a government of national unity that somehow
don't say those things so loud.
Okay, and we've got a GNU that somehow is glued together and still holding. Okay, it's only 3 months, but you know what? It's and then a rate cut, and it's like and a Rugby World Cup, although that was last year. But it just feels when last was there almost a spring in the step of South Africans.
And that's the weird thing, right? Because I was looking at the rate cut conversation as well. And I looked at the Rand, and the Rand hit 17.45 against the dollar. And I sat there and I was like, do you want to bet against the Rand at this point?
No.
It is a strange feeling. It's almost like a PTSD kind of feeling where you're like, we're waiting for the shoe to drop. Where's the catch? What's happening? Why is there, But yeah. Then the reality is, things are, it's amazing what electricity does, guys.
Yeah. So in the case of Mr. Price, I would wager it's fairly valued.
Okay.
Mean PE is 18 and a bit, current is 20, forward is 17. So I would say it is fairly valued.
Kind of in the middle. Yeah.
But roll us a year of optimism, two pots, another 150.
3% growth. Hey, you keep saying
that. I know.
And it's going to, when it happens, it's going to be the weirdest thing.
This stock could make an argument for it that it should be expensive, not fairly valued. So, let's be clear, the time to buy it was, late last year, beginning of this year. But for folks who say, I've missed the bus because you look at the chart. Well, sure, you missed the bus, but you're just getting on at a different bus stop.
That's it. Still the same bus.
Yeah.
Still the same destination. Bus,
same destination. And, in a perfectly ideal world, the stock can still go higher.
And that destination, of course, to be clear, is ideally the top right of the screen.
Oh, yeah. Just in case anyone was unsure. like bottom left, top right.
Yes. Top, that way. Right. High Prop, the other one. Again, similar to Mr. Price, kind of run really hot. But the sentiment that's come out at the moment, and I think we saw the sentiment definitely come through more from, I'd say from May, because the moment the GNU was announced, there was a sense of optimism. And property stocks as well. High Prop in May did 14% almost in that month. And that was by the end of May, which we would have just gotten that announcement around that time around the elections. And then people would have thought, okay, no, the GNU is not going to hold. So the month of June might have been a bit volatile for all our companies. But then you look at the performance in July, another 18%. You look at this month, or sort of end of August-ish now, 18% as well.
Yeah.
We've broken up above a 40 rand level on High Prop that we haven't been able to tap above since we came below 40 rand back in 2021. No, back in 2020, actually, pandemic.
And it's still discount to NAV, about 30% discount to NAV. Dividend yield is 6 and some change, not the biggest dividend yield in the world. But what's happening with property is things are looking better. Let's be clear, the office is still a mess, but things are certainly looking better. We're in a High Prop mall right now, and it is busy. The stores are full in terms of there's no vacant stores and there's people wandering. I come through here on a Tuesday at like 9:30 in the morning and like, who are these people? Like,
what are you doing here?
I'm buying milk and bread. I don't know what they're doing here. But also, so with rates coming down, you were buying government bonds or RSA retail savings bonds and you were getting great yields and they're all fading away. So where do you go? REITs.
And I spoke to Morne Wilkin, CEO of High Prop, around what High Prop's been doing. I'd been keeping in touch with Morne quite regularly. And coming out of the pandemic, High Prop and Growth Point kind of took a very deliberate approach to we are going to greenify our infrastructure. We're going to go off grid because even if Eskom says they've got it under control, we have suffered. Because in the pandemic, they had vacancies, they had to pay diesel costs and all of that. So they've been on an active sort of shift to making the business more sustainable. And just out of interest, the 45 Rand or so we're trading at now, we haven't traded at 45 Rand on Hyprop since the pandemic, since March of 2020.
And I'm old enough to remember when it was 100 Rand share. But so fun fact, again, I lived next door, so I'd look down on the center from the corridors, and the entire roof is solar panels.
There we
Every
go.
Inch available is solar panels. Now, there still is a generator because that's not, but in this environment where there isn't load shedding, they are providing now, not today, it's cloudy and cold, but on a nice sunny half-felt day, they're getting power out of the sky.
And the high prop conversation, for me, when we look at where to put it on the wall, you can go with a place like the load up section where we've got really good stocks, but I'd put high prop in easy money because we've literally got a section carved out on the wall for the dividend play. REITs are the dividend play at the moment.
You're getting 6% a year just to hold it.
That's
6-7% a year.
That's an easy thing to do.
I do think, looking at that chart, I think we're going to get some bit of
growth as well.
Yeah, but also some pullback, and that might be your opportunity. But
that's it.
You know, this is not when we go back to 2017 when REITs locally peaked. I mean, they were premiums to NAV of 50%. The yields were sub 3 or 4 in some cases. We're still buying shopping centers at discounts to NAV.
And Hyprop peaked in July of 2016 at 143 Rand. So just shy of 150 Rand, right? So we're at, we haven't even hit 30% of that price at the moment. And if we do pull back, I mean, 40 Rand seems like a reasonable pullback level.
Yeah.
Good level to watch and see what it looks like around that level. Of course, make your own decisions. Don't say we made them for you and do your own homework. We're moving on to international picks, JD.com.
So looking at the chart, this stock is same price it was 10 years ago.
You're getting got a 10-year discount.
It got to 90 in between and price to book 1.4, forward PE 7. These are just, and I know, so either you are a China.
You're pro-China or you're anti-Chinese stocks. Yeah, yeah. It's simple.
It's simple. And if you are anti-China, then skip ahead 2 minutes.
That's it.
If you're thinking to yourself, China, there is stuff in China that is like crazy cheap. And JD.com is not some little like...
They're not a small fish in...
They're not some little unknown that no one's... Market cap, 42 billion. And at its peak, it was closer to $200 billion market cap. Is it going to make you money by Tuesday?
No.
Probably not. Nothing much does.
But if the Chinese economy is, or if the Chinese government is going to be more relaxed around their meddling in the markets.
And I think, so Xi Jinping, when he got reelected for his third term last year, still talks around common prosperity, but he talks around it a little bit differently, as opposed to 5 years previously.
Taxing the rich.
Yeah, 5 years previously where he was, we must strive for it. He's now talking about it almost a mission accomplished. In other words, kind of like we went and beat everyone we had to, and we cracked the big stick and everyone's got into line and things are looking
things cool. Things are fine. Which is quite interesting as well, is because I think for all it's worth, the Chinese Communist Party, President Xi Jinping, the Chinese government understands very critically that you can go after these companies and you can go crack the whip and all of that, but you also can't crack the whip to the extent that people don't want to build companies anymore.
Yeah.
You can't create a hostile environment where people no longer want to participate, right? So there's that balance as well. And I think, as you said, probably they've achieved that balance to say companies or wealth distribution as they would see it might not be running away as much, or they could just be having a lot more issues with the property sector, and you need something to keep you afloat when you're dealing with the property market and everything else, kind of the likes of JD.com, the Alibabas, and that those businesses still run.
And when I was prepping for my show this morning, something came across my screen. I didn't dig into it, but that there is expected that the Chinese government is going to announce something around residential property over the next couple of days to take some of the pressure off the folks who are underwater.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah. But that's still not going to be the most interesting thing we have on the show today, because Sprout Farmers Market.
Sprouts
Farmers Market.
Think food lovers.
Okay.
But in America.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, they sell fresh produce. They've got delis. They've got fish. They've got meat alternatives. All of those sort of things. They're a grocer. I'm trying to see how many stores stores they have, and I can't find the stores. 32,000 employees, founded in 1943. Now, I have to be honest, Keith McLachlan put me onto this, and I interviewed J.D. Hayward from Flagship Asset Management.
Yes, Flagship, yes.
As much as we're talking about lower interest rates here, making things better for South Africans, lesser in the U.S. because their home loans are fixed. Mm-hmm. But this is just a stock that I like the story behind it, which is that whole idea where we want to be fitter and healthier, and so we go outside and yoga and gym and everything else. But also what we consume and how we eat and what we're eating is important.
What worries me about the chart, as I look at the chart.
I know. This is one. Do you have a thing there which is like, this is a fun stock, but yo, that chart scares me.
That it does. It really.
Is it up 4X in 2 years?
No, not even 2 years. November.
1 year is 160% total returns.
November of last year, we're at $40. We're north of $100. It hasn't had a bearish month this entire year.
Yeah, so can we put it on the, this is an amazing story, but it looks...
We're going to have to find, because this is the other thing. At all-time highs, you have to also then consider there's no timing the market. You don't know what the retracement is going to look like. And every time it pulls back, you look at it, it pulled back, tried to pull back to $90, tried to pull back to $100.
It just can't pull back. And they've removed a third of the shares in issue over the last decade.
For greater context for our listeners that might not have the video quality of seeing our faces at this point, right? The stock from about 2015 to about 2020, the highest it had gotten was shy of $40 in 2015. Yeah. Then it came back and finally got to $40 in 2023. And now it's at $105.
Talking around what we were with Fahima a moment ago.
Yes.
So this is not a small cap. I actually checked. It's $10 billion, which by her definition was not a small cap.
But by 2015, between 2015 and now.
It's bigger than ShopRite.
It's bigger than ShopRite. But between 2015 and now, to be honest, the share might have been a small cap. And as you say, the moment a stock transitions between small to medium cap, which could be the exact point that we just spoke about with Fahima, is then you start to see other money come into it. And that could be the thing.
Because now suddenly
we've got institutional money must be interested.
Yeah, and suddenly we've got 14 analysts covering
instead
it.
Instead of four.
And I bet you a decade ago it was four.
Target prices
by the US analyst is 125.
So we're about $10, $20 away from the target price. But we like the stock, and that's why we have it on our wall, right? We put them on the wall because we like them, we like what they do, and not necessarily because we like the price that they're trading at, but we like the stock. That being said, we'll leave it at that for Investor Insights this week. Remember, if you've missed out on any of our conversations, they are up on all our socials. Follow us on the socials. Until next time, investing isn't hard. Just try it.